Joshua chapter 3. Joshua 3, and we're going to read the first six verses together. Verses 1 to 6. Joshua 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye seek the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Let's unite in prayer a moment, please, as we seek the Lord's help in his word tonight. Father, we come to your precious word for guidance, for instruction, and that we might be encouraged through the voice of the Lord speaking through the scriptures of truth. O Lord, thou art witness to all that has been said this evening. Thou art witness to the emotions of every heart, to those, O Lord, that are saddened, to those who are gladdened, and to those, O Lord, who fear. But, oh, we pray tonight that thou wilt comfort, reassure, edify, and strengthen each heart, that we might truly look unto the Lord. Give utterance tonight, O Lord, and help to preach thy word in the time allowed, and bless us. We ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to bring you straight to the text. We're going to go straight out of the gate tonight in verse 5. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I chose this text because it cuts to the chase of the purpose and the meaning of this history. And tonight, we are making history. The children of Israel crossing over the Jordan meant death to their old life. As it has been frequently said, it took only a night to get the Israelites out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. Such is the power of the world. It clings to God's children. And we need to be brought to the Jordan to learn a new consecration of heart. The old life must go if the new life of God's power would come into our souls. Recently, I came across the story of the hymn writer Frances Havergal. And she wrote the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. She had read a little book that was entitled All for Jesus. And she learned that to know the fullness of God's power, that she would have to surrender everything in her life to the Lord. Now, she was a singer, and her voice was in great demand. And she vowed to God that she would only sing the Lord's songs. And so she wrote the line, Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. She inherited a sizable amount of jewelry. And again, as she consecrated that to the Lord, she sold it to support a missionary society. And then she wrote the line, Take my silver and my gold, Not a mite would I withhold. And she learned, and we each need to learn, that we need to be totally consecrated to the Lord that we might have the fullness of His power. Now, you might be asking, why? Why did Frances Havergal have to take that position of only singing for the Lord, giving her riches for the cause of Christ? Why? Well, here in this historic incident of great significance to Israel, which holds many lessons for us tonight, the why is explained for us. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, as time enables tonight, number one, the explanation of sanctify. We'll never get any progress in this history, in this lesson, if we don't grapple with the whole issue of sanctify. Then there's the expectation of the sanctify. Tomorrow! And then there is the application of sanctify. How do we do it? How does this happen in each of our lives? The first thing to note in this, it is something that the people must do themselves. Sanctify yourselves. They could not just let go and let God. They could not just be passive. There was something that the people themselves must do as they stood at that side of the River Jordan, seeking a way across. This was different from the night of the Red Sea when the Lord said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You see, salvation is all of God. It's all of grace. We have no part in it. We cannot pay for sin. We cannot redeem ourselves. It's totally, absolutely God's work. But when it comes to this matter of sanctification, there is a whole lot that we need to do as we seek the blessing and help of God. Sanctify yourself means to set yourself apart for God. We have many examples of this. God set apart the seventh day and hallowed it. It was a day for God. The firstborn in Israel were set apart for God. In Exodus 19:10, it means to wash their clothes with water and to purify. And so anything that purifies our lives, anything that weeds out the world, anything that gets rid of the distractions and the hindrances to a complete, dedicated life for God, that's what it means to set yourself apart for the Lord. In the New Testament, we have many scriptures that are applicable in sanctification. Would you open your Bible with me at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1? I would like to just read the first five verses here, and we're going to slow up just a little bit to let this sink in. Colossians 3 and the verse 1. Let the Bible speak. I don't want you going home asking, what exactly did that preacher say and where did he get it from? Colossians 3, 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, means put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And you have quite a list here. Fornication, uncleanness, think television, think internet, inordinate affection, the love of this world and the things that are anything but Christian, evil concupiscence, relationships that are evil, and covetousness, the almighty dollar, which is idolatry. Sanctify yourselves. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. I hope you understand what I'm doing here tonight. I'm taking an Old Testament history, a narrative of God's dealings with his people in that historical event. And we are taking God's command to those people and learning it also that that principle is right here in the New Testament for you and for me. And these are commands to us. Sanctify yourselves. And here in 2 Corinthians 6 and the verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Do you see the pattern? Do you see the order of the steps? When you separate yourself, when you sanctify yourself, when you set yourself apart for God, when you are done with everything that's of the flesh and of this world, then God says, I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now remember that the Lord Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them through thy word, for thy word is truth. This is the will of God tonight for every Christian, even your sanctification. God wants to make his people holy. He wants to make you Christ-like. He wants you to leave the world behind. He wants you to sanctify yourself for tomorrow. And that brings us to the expectation of the sanctified people. The Lord says, tomorrow I, the Lord, will do wonders among you. And if you take a moment just to read verse 10 to 13, you see how the Lord told them in advance, before it happened, exactly what the Lord would do for them. And we're told here in Joshua 3, verse 10, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hevites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men of the tribes of Israel out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And now this is their expectation. God has spoken. He has told his people what they must do, and then they will see the mighty acts, the wonders of the Lord tomorrow. And of course, here at Jordan, they were to be brought into a new life of power to serve God. They're going to drive out the heathen. They're going to claim their possessions. They're going to live in a new life of victory. And surely that is your quest tonight. Can it possibly be that you are born again of the Spirit and there is not within your heart this yearning, Lord, make me as holy can be, this side of glory, that I might be a useful vessel in your kingdom? And this is the expectation. Now, at Jordan, God did mighty works at different times in history. Elijah went down to that river and he took his mantle and wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. And the waters opened and he crossed over. Elijah's servant, when the mantle of Elijah fell upon the young servant of God, we read here, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him and went back and stood at the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. Jordan is the place of leading God's people into victory. Now there's another great event that took place at the Jordan. And that is the baptism of our Lord Jesus, who had said that to fulfill all righteousness, let it be that John the Baptist should baptize our Lord in that water. Now, what happened to our Lord Jesus on that baptismal event? The Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, descended and rested upon the Lord Jesus. And the Scripture says that straightway he went preaching repentance. Do you need power? Do you need victory? Do you need to be on conquering ground? Then sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, sanctified people expect God to lead them. If you look at verse 5, you will see here, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And they were to prepare their stuff for moving. It meant to believe God that would lead them over the Jordan. And though it was fast flowing at this time due to the runoff of the snowpack up in Lebanon, yet God would lead them over. And he said to them in the verse 4, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. This is not something that anyone ever experienced in their lives. This was altogether new. And remember that this generation had not been at the Red Sea. They had heard of it. They were living in the assets of it. But this was new. Ye have not gone this way heretofore. And that is where heartfelt faith in God's come in. God is leading in a new way, which requires trust and to lean on his sovereign plan. And this is future, tomorrow. All of this was in front of them, and they were to expect God to come in all his power. And when we face our Jordans, we need to expect that God is going to open a way. Whatever that new life experience or decision is, a Christian will be on his or her knees saying, Lord, open a way. It could be in marriage, one of the biggest decisions that any young man will ever make. And the girls too, for good measure. You need to pray that God will go before you. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a challenge that you feel overwhelmed and not particularly fit for. Or it could be for some of us old age. And we pass into a phase of life that we have not gone before. The weakness of the body, infirmity, limitations, frustrations. But the Lord says, sanctify yourselves, and He will lead us over uncertainties of life. Moving home, moving to a new country, moving to a new church, moving to a new pulpit. These are ways that God's servant has not gone before. And then, of course, seeking a new minister. As far as I know, there's only one Armin Tomassian. And some people will say amen. We will never find a replica of Armin Tomassian again. And that is a tribute to the creative power of God. You know, we talk about facial recognition now in the new way of security. I look around, there's no two faces the same. I met two sisters this morning, I did a double take, but I knew, no, that's not her. This is amazing. But in the sovereignty and the goodness of God, He promises that He will lead us over and lead us into a new chapter of victory and of blessing. And by setting ourselves apart for God, sanctifying ourselves, He promises to do this. And so we learn here what we are to do. And then we are to expect what God will do. But unless we are willing for the sanctifying part, then we cannot fully expect God to come through on His part. Now, there's a great verse in Isaiah 43:2. It says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." Now, that's a great promise for God to give. And do you know what? He's done it. He's done it. He's done it at the Red Sea. He's done it here at the Jordan. He's done it several times, as we've learned. God is the expert of leading His people through troubled waters. And if we trust Him and do His bidding, He promises that He will lead us through. Also, sanctified people expect to have God's presence with them. It's a great statement here in verse 7. The Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee." The young Joshua must have been feeling, boy, this is beyond me. We need to get Moses back. We need someone with experience here. But the Lord said, "I am going to be with you as I was with Moses." Now, how was God going to be present in their midst? In the Ark of the Covenant. The priests were to take that Ark of the Covenant, and they were to go right down to the lips of the waters, and when their feet touched the waters, God would begin to work. Now, God's presence was transitioning here. Because up until this point, Israel had the cloud, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. And every time the cloud moved, they just kept under it. But at this point, it was changing. It was no longer the cloud. It was the Ark of the Covenant. And inside that Ark of the Covenant, of course, was the Ten Commandments written in stone. The Word of God. And these people now were ceasing from that extra dramatic following the cloud to following the ark containing God's word. And that was to be the evidence of God's presence right down in their midst. And so they went from the supernatural to the less dramatic guide in the Ark of the Covenant. Now today, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant. We don't have those tables of stone. But in the mighty wonder of God's preservation, we have the Scriptures of truth from Genesis to Revelation. And God says that I will be with you. And you are to trust God through His Word. Now, what was for the Israelite transitioning from following the cloud to the Ark of the Covenant was a mark of maturity. And the mature Christian today does not look for signs and wonders as the charismatics and the Pentecostals. God has spoken in this book. And as we keep to His Word, we will be a prepared people. And we need to set ourselves apart and to know the power of His Word in our lives. And the Lord says, I will be present with you. Can you rest in that tonight? Do you have enough faith in God to say, that's my path, that's my way, that's what I must do? And now you pray, by God's grace, I will do this. Now that brings me to the application of sanctifying yourselves. The application is how we follow through on this lesson in our day. Now remember that the book of Joshua is not just a history lesson, but is written for our learning, and it is a lesson for our heart. And we must follow the Lord loyally, as Israel were to follow the Ark of the Covenant loyally. Now let's go back to verse 4. I want you to notice that the command that was given to them, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Now I have translated that into 3/4 of a mile, approximately. And so you can imagine this vast crowd and number of people, one jostling with the other, looking over each other's shoulder, where is the ark? And of course, if they were very close to it, hardly anyone would see it. But if it was out there 3/4 of a mile in advance, many, many eyes, if not all, could see that ark and follow it. And so this command to keep that distance, and it says, come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. And so they were to keep their eyes on that Ark of the Covenant. Now let me ask you tonight, are your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Honestly, truly. Are you constantly living in fellowship, asking the Lord to hourly, constantly be your guide, lest you turn to folly? If you're not doing that, you would be like these Israelites, straying in different directions and not keeping their eye upon that Ark of the Covenant. Then in verse 9, you'll notice that they were to hear the words of the Lord. What a wonderful statement. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. To hear God's words, we must give full focus. We must be bending our ear. We must be tuned in. That's why we have the means of grace, the meditation time, the closet time, and the public worship, the preaching of the word, that we will be tuned into that word. And Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Go forth in faith for the waters to open. And you look there at verse 13, it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And you read the rest of the story, God did it. God took those people across. And there's the whole matter of the 12 stones. They were to remember this from generation to generation. But God did exactly what he promised. And there's one little point I'm going to make before I close. Give the honor to the Lord. You'll notice in verse 7 that God honored Joshua. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. Here is Joshua. He's being promoted to the leader that every Israelite would know. This is God's man. But what did Joshua do? If you look at verse 10, Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. God honored Joshua, but in turn, Joshua honored God. That's the pattern for us. We do not glory in a man tonight, but we certainly glory in the Savior who saved the man, who is sending the man. And brother, I pray that tonight that this word is for you and your family. Ye have not gone this way heretofore, but the Lord will be in your midst. Frances Havergal would only use her voice for the Lord. Her hymn also calls us to surrender our silver and gold. But above all and foremost, the Lord is looking for your heart. And she wrote that line, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Is there someone here tonight and you're a witness to things that God's people are saying and putting into practice in their lives, but you have yet to give your life and surrender your all to the Lord? Perhaps you're hearing the voice of the world. Perhaps you're being deceived by the false promises of money and pleasure and fame. Let me tell you tonight, that's a wilderness experience. We want you to go over with us into the promised land. The land of victory, the land of provision, the land of plenty. Yes, we want you to be a Christian too, to surrender to the cross work of Christ, to be washed in his blood, and set yourself apart for God. Will you do that tonight? Is there someone here that must do that? You've heard the voice ringing loud and clear in your soul. And you know that you will be rejecting that voice if you do not trust Christ this evening. After the service is over, or while people go next door, would you come to the front and just talk with us and say, I need to know the Lord. And we'd have the joy of opening the Bible and helping you. But tonight, sanctify yourself. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. There is a hymn we're going to sing, 561, Living for Jesus. 561. We'll ask our ushers to now take up the offering. And in verse 1, we will remain seated. and then we will stand together to sing. 561 is our first hymn. 561, Living for Jesus. All right.